Okay, Chevra, we're going to wait another minute or two before we begin because officially we begin at 7:30, I believe. So they say in other parts of our Washington Heights community that if you're too early, that's also not precise. The idea is to be precise in our timing. There's some German expression for being too early is also not considered precise. So as soon as we are at the correct time, so then we will begin. Okay.
Rabbi Schwartz.
Yes. Liv, how are you?
Good. Well, besides the test, I haven't gotten the results yet.
Okay.
Still waiting, but we had a reunion from my yeshiva that I went to in Israel, Reishit Yerushalayim. And
Okay.
there were some rabbis there who said they know you.
I'm sure they are. Yeah.
You know Rabbi Ari Marcus
Course. Yeah.
and Rabbi of Ellie and Ravdani.
Of course,
They
I was
send
a
their
chavrus at
regards.
one. I was a chavrus at one point with Rabbi Chaim Marcus, who is the
Yeah,
third or the
he's
fourth,
Tisha
or whatever it is. So Baruch Hashem, I know the Marcuses.
Yeah, they send their regards.
Thank you. Okay, excellent. Yosef, how are you? Okay, you're muted, but I assume that means that you're still okay.
It's now officially 7:30.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Okay.
Is this Joseph, is this a Verizon commercial?
No.
No. Okay.
Can you hear me now from Verizon?
Oh, you have to drop a pin or something, right? Okay, Chevra, let's begin. So we're learning Maseches Sukkah. And we are learning Sukkah Daf, Tesamid Beis, and tonight we will get over to Yud Amud Aleph, God willing. The basic idea that we learned last time, and the Mishnah has this on the top of the page, if a person builds a sukkah underneath the tree, so such a sukkah is not kosher, but the Mishnah has like a interesting way of saying that. The Mishnah says, if I make a sukkah under the tree, it's as if I make the sukkah inside a home. That's the way the Mishnah said it. And from that, the Gemara derived that the only time a sukkah under a tree is going to be a problem is if that tree is what we call tzilasa meruba mechamasa. If the tree is similar to a home, in that just like my home, my roof provides more shade than the sun that comes through my roof, so also a sukkah under a tree is only a problem if that tree is tzilasa meruba mechamasa, if that tree has more shade than it gives off than the sunlight comes through. That's the only time it's a problem, if the tree on top of the sukkah has more shade.
You're saying if it gives us more shade?
The only time it's going to be a problem is if the tree gives off more shade than the amount of sun that gets through the tree.
Okay.
We spoke about last time also, and this is something to kind of hold on to because as the shiur progresses tonight, we'll come back to it. Even though it's something that we mentioned last week, we will return to it tonight. Is a dispute between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rav Yah. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, if you have a sukkah that has kosher schach that is amazing, the best schach ever, more shade than sun on the schach of my sukkah, so even if there is a tree on top of my sukkah and that tree has more shade than sun, it still is kosher. When the Gemara says that if the tree has more shade than sun, that invalidates my sukkah, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that is only referring to a case where I need the shade of that tree to adequately shade my sukkah. But if my sukkah has adequate shade on its own, without the tree on top of it, so it is 100% perfect, amazing, gewaldic, best sukkah ever, that is the approach of Rabbeinu Tam.
Didn't we say Let's just finish. Okay.
But the Rav Yah, however, takes issue with the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rav Yah says that just because your sukkah has perfect shade on its own does not mean that the tree on top of it cannot create a problem. The Rav Yah says if you have a beautiful shady sukkah,
I think you can get to my
but there is a tree on top of your beautiful shady sukkah, it is non-kosher, according to the Rav Yah. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions, but the Mishnah Berurah says that you should really be concerned with the opinion of the Rav Yah. Only in cases of great difficulty can you rely on the Rabbeinu Tam.
Did we quote the Aruch HaShulchan last week?
The Aruch HaShulchan, I don't remember. Again, we spoke about the Shulchan Aruch. We spoke about the Mishnah Berurah's comment.
Okay.
I don't recall an Aruch HaShulchan, but the point is that this comes up all the time. I build a sukkah, and on top of my sukkah there is a tree. So it's entirely possible that according to the Rabbeinu Tam, that sukkah is going to be 100% fine because the sukkah had enough shade without the tree. You don't need the tree to provide shade for the sukkah. That was what we spoke about last time within the Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rav Yah disagrees, and now we are up to tonight's Gemara, which begins from the two dots over here. You see there's a two dots in the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan.
Yes.
We could take maybe a comment, and then we've got to go on. Ready,
okay.
Chevra?
So didn't we say last week that if the tree branches are bent into the stuff, that it would be fine?
Last time we spoke about if the Gemara says that if the tree branches are bent down, and then the tree branches intermingle, they mix in with the regular schach, and there is more regular schach than there is tree branches. So in that situation, in that situation, the attached tree is going to be butel to the schach.
So just
like there's a halacha of bitul throughout all of Torah, if a little bit of tray falls into my pot, my food can still be kosher. So here also, the little bit of tree that gets mixed in with my schach does not make my entire sukkah non-kosher, providing it is bent down, providing the tree is bent such that it intermingles with the schach that's on top of my sukkah.
So does the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rav Yah comment on that?
I mean, again, so according to the Rabbeinu Tam, that halacha is only necessary when the sukkah on its own would not have adequate shade.
Okay.
Rav Yah, even the sukkah would have adequate shade on its own. In order to be kosher, you have to bend the tree down so that it intermingles with the rest of the schach.
All right.
Again, this is a little review from last week.
I got
now
it.
Now we are up to this week. Okay.
Right.
Now we're in August. Then we were still in July until now. We just had this miraculous transformation from July to August, but the virus is still here. What can we do? Okay. Sukkah agabe sukkah. Right? So the Mishnah at the end. First, the Mishnah speaks about a sukkah that's under a tree. And then it says, a sukkah on top of a sukkah. So the halacha in the Mishnah is that the top sukkah is kosher, the bottom sukkah is no good. Right? That's what it says in the Mishnah. A sukkah on top of a sukkah, so the bottom sukkah is no good. Then it says, Then Rabbi Yehuda, however, says, "Im ein diurin ba'el yona." If you don't have people who are living in the top sukkah, then the bottom sukkah is kosher. In other words, according to the Tanna Kamma, according to the first opinion, the bottom sukkah is always no good. Rabbi Yehuda, however, clarifies that there are times when the bottom sukkah is going to be good, and that refers to when there is no one in the top sukkah, and now we are ready to learn some Gemara. So, Tanna Rabbanan, you have it like right at the two dots towards the bottom.
Rabbi?
Yes, Yosef.
Sukkah, as a matter of practicality, how would you have that? Like, is the schach of the lower sukkah the floor of the upper sukkah?
The lower sukkah is the floor of...
And it's sturdy enough to house tables and chairs?
So that actually is going to be an issue that the Gemara will address, but it's theoretically
That's
possible.
A very good question.
In other words, you could have a very thick layer of schach, and it's so thick that you can put, I don't know if you can put your dining room table on top of it, but you can put your futon bed on top or something, and maybe it won't collapse. And that issue will be addressed in the Gemara.
Rabbi, one quick question. The sukkah on top, does it have schach on it or not?
The sukkah on top has schach, the sukkah on bottom has schach. They are both, they look, if you just look at each one on its own, it seems to be a great sukkah. But the Mishnah tells me the bottom sukkah is non-kosher, the top sukkah is kosher. Rabbi Yehuda says sometimes even the bottom sukkah could be kosher if there's no one who lives in the top sukkah. Right? That's what it says in the Mishnah, and we will analyze this this evening.
Why would anyone want to do that?
Okay, so the question that you're never allowed to ask is why. The question of why would anyone want to do that, you just can't ask the question. The answer is because they want us to be able to give a shiur. That's why they do.
Okay.
Let's go. Chavra. Tell the Rabbanan. So we learned. Basukos teshvu, and on the side of the Gemara, they changed basukos with a vav to basukos without a vav. The Torah says, basukos teshvu, sit in the sukkah, and that means sit in a sukkah, v'lo b'sukkah shetachas ha-sukkah, v'lo b'sukkah shetachas ha-ilon, v'lo b'sukkah shet b'toch ha-bayis. You should sit in a sukkah, not in a sukkah under a sukkah, not in a sukkah that is under a tree, and not in a sukkah that is inside a house. Rav Schachter likes to tell the story about how his father at one point was a rabbi in Philadelphia, and the local conservative rabbi called Rav Schachter's father that tell them that my balabatim are making me crazy, and they're saying the sukkah that I built is non-kosher because our sukkah is a circular sukkah, and tell them that a circular sukkah is okay, something like that. Rav Schachter's father says, yeah, circular sukkah is actually okay. But right, he didn't realize that the sukkah that they were building in that conservatory at that time was a sukkah that they built inside the actual shul itself. It was like in the sanctuary. So the sukkah, I assume that's also considered a sukkah shebetoch habayis. The sukkah that's inside a house is no good, even if the house is a synagogue, right? I don't think it's a halacha bias that requires a mezuzah, and the shul doesn't require a mezuzah. A sukkah inside a sukkah is no good. A sukkah under a tree is no good. And a sukkah inside a house is no good, because it says, basukos teshvu, sit in the sukkah. So frek the gemara, adarabba, basukos tarti mashma. Right? No. The word basukos is plural. Plural means more than one. So what are you telling me, that you're only okay in one sukkah, not in a sukkah under a sukkah? The word basukos sounds like more than one. So Amrav Nachman bar Yitzchak, basukas ksiv. Right? That the Torah writes the word basukos in a way that it is deficient, in a way that it is missing a vav. And because it's missing a vav, so therefore, it says, it's as if it says basukas teshvu, only sit in a single sukkah, do not sit in a sukkah that is inside a sukkah. So the only comment I want to make over here, which will, again, I hope, become significant as we proceed in the shiur tonight, is the Gemara seems to be equating all of these halachos. The halacha of a sukkah under a tree is the same as the halacha of a sukkah under a sukkah, which is the same as the halacha of a sukkah inside a house. The Gemara seems to equate all of these halachos, and that's something for us to hold on to and analyze as we go on. Zok the Gemara. Amir Reb Yirmiya. You have it? Pa'amim shashtein kasheros. If I have a sukkah on top of a sukkah, so Reb Yirmiya says, sometimes both sukkahs are kosher. Pa'amim shashtein pesulos. Sometimes both sukkahs are non-kosher. Pa'amim shatachtona kashera ve'yona pesula. Sometimes the bottom sukkah is kosher and the top one is pasul. Pa'amim shatachtona pesula ve'yona kashera. And sometimes the bottom one is pasul and the top one is kosher. So all four possibilities exist. They could both be kosher, they could both be pasul, the bottom one could be kosher, and the top one pasul, and the bottom one can be pasul, and the top one kosher. They are all valid possibilities, and the Gemara will explain them as we go on. Hechidami. Pa'amim shashtein kasheros hechidami. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines on the bottom. The word pa'amim begins the line. Sometimes they're both kosher. What's the case that they're both kosher? Hechidami, what's the case? Higon shetachtona chamasa meruba mitzilasa v'ha'elyona tzilasa meruba mechamasa v'kaim ha'elyona b'toch esrim. Okay, here's the case. The case is the bottom sukkah doesn't have that much shade. The bottom sukkah is very sunny. The top sukkah has a lot of shade. Now, in that situation, if the bottom sukkah doesn't have much shade, the bottom sukkah is chamosa meruba mitzilasa, there is more sun than there is shade on the bottom sukkah. So what that would mean is that effectively the schach of that bottom sukkah is not halachically valid as schach. The schach of that bottom sukkah is going to be pasul. But there is still schach on this sukkah because the schach of the top sukkah works for the bottom sukkah. So if the bottom sukkah is chamosa meruba mitzula, so the bottom one has more sun than shade, but the top one has more shade than sun. So the shade of the top one can work for the bottom. But the caveat is that this only works if the top sukkah is less than 20 amos tall. Because if the top sukkah is more than 20 amos tall, so that's not going to help. Because a sukkah over 20 amos is pasul.
Wouldn't the two of them combined need to be less than 20 amos?
So, okay, now you're already getting into advanced Talmud. And this is a discussion that the Bir Halacha has at length. When I speak about 20 amos, am I talking about 20 amos from the ground until the top of the top sukkah? Or am I talking about 20 amos from the roof, from the ceiling of sukkah one above that 20 amos? The simple reading in Judaism is that you're right, Yosef. The simple reading of Judaism is that both sukkahs have to be within 20. And for that, I think it makes a lot of sense because what we're saying is the schach of the upper sukkah is working for the lower sukkah. So the schach of that upper sukkah has to be lower than 20 amos in order to be machshir that lower sukkah. Good?
Sure.
so far we have one case. The case is that both sukkahs are kosher. When lower sukkah does not have much shade, but upper sukkah has abundant shade. Now, it's a little bit funny that this is called both sukkahs being kosher, because if you would ask me, I would say that maybe there's only one sukkah in this case.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, if my bottom sukkah has more sun than shade, so then you could make a pretty reasonable case that the bottom sukkah is just not a sukkah at all. But nonetheless, the Gemara, I say for purposes of illustration, the Gemara is calling it a case when they are both kosher, even though, and Rashi has an expression to this effect, I might have to find the line, that Rashi has an expression that's as if the lower sukkah does not count as a sukkah at all. I might have to find the exact words in the Rashi. Okay. So that's the case when they're both kosher.
Okay.
Ha'amim sheshtem psulot. I'm sorry, was someone speaking? Okay, four lines from the bottom. Ha'amim sheshtem psulot. Sometimes both of the sukkahs are non-kosher. Hechagami. What's the case then? Both of the sukkahs are non-kosher. Kigon de tarvaihu tzilason meruba mechamasan. V'kayma el yona lemala me'esrim amo. Both sukkahs are good sukkahs. Both sukkahs have more shade than sun. Now, if both sukkahs have more shade than sun, so the upper sukkah cannot work for the lower sukkah because the lower sukkah is a valid sukkah on its own.
Right.
But the upper sukkah cannot work for the upper sukkah either because the upper sukkah is above 20 amos. So in that case, they are both non-kosher. They are both pasul because they both have more shade than sun, but the upper sukkah b'kama elyona l'mala me'esrim amo. The upper one is above 20 amos. Ha'amim, sometimes, shetachtona kishera v'he'oyona psula. Sometimes the bottom sukkah is kasher and the top sukkah is pasul. What's the case that the bottom sukkah is kasher and the top sukkah is pasul? Let me just try to share the screen again. Can you see Daf Yud Amud Aleph?
Yes.
Yes.
Hechidami, what's the case? What's the case that the bottom sukkah is kosher and the top sukkah is not kosher? Kigon shetachtona tzilasa meruba mechamasa, ve'oyona chamasa meruba mitzilasa, v'kayma tarvayu betoch esrim. Okay, this actually makes a lot of sense, no? The bottom sukkah has more shade. So the bottom sukkah is a grand sukkah. It's just perfect. The top sukkah has more sun than shade. That means that the top sukkah is not a sukkah, if that's the case. And both of them are within 20 amos. We'll have to explain why that is true. Why both sukkahs. So again, the bottom sukkah has more shade. The top sukkah has more sun. So in this case, the bottom sukkah is kosher. The top sukkah is not kosher. Because the bottom sukkah has more shade, the top sukkah has more sun. Yet the Gemara adds a line, which we will have to explore, the third line from the top, v'kaimat havaihu betoch esrim. Both sukkot are within 20 amos. Right? Why would that have to be? L'cha'ora, if the top sukkah is not a sukkah, because the top sukkah has more sun than shade, why does it have to be that the top sukkah is also within 20 amos? let's hold it. Amen. Then there are times for the fourth possibility. Third line from the top. Sometimes the bottom sukkah is non-kosher. The top one is. Both sukkahs have more shade than sun. The top one is within 20. Now again, in this case, both sukkahs have more shade than sun. And the top sukkah is within 20, so the top sukkah is kosher. But because you can't have one sukkah underneath another sukkah, so therefore the bottom one is pasul, top one is kosher. Again, so we have four cases. It's not particularly complicated once you get the hang of it. The four cases basically are that sometimes both sukkot are kosher, right? Both sukkot can be kosher when the bottom one has more sun than shade. Sometimes both are pasul when they both have more shade than sun, but the top one is above 20. Sometimes the bottom is kasher and the top one is pasul. For example, the bottom one has more shade, the top one has more sun, and Rashi and the Gemara added, that they are both within 20, and sometimes top is kasher, bottom is pasul. Okay. So the Gemara asks, six lines on top, pshita. The Gemara asks, okay, great. You gave me four cases, but it's pretty obvious. The Gemara answers, tachtona kishera ve'oyona psula it's trichale. I need the case when the bottom one is kosher and the top one is pasol, which means, again, the bottom one has more shade, the top one has more sun. That case is the chiddush. Mahu de tema nigzar dilma mitzdarev schach pasul bahade schach kasher kamash malon. I would have thought that we make a gezerah that maybe you will combine the pasul schach with the kasher schach. The chiddush is that we don't make such a gezerah. I would have thought that in the case when the bottom one has more shade than sun, and the top one has more sun than shade, I would have thought that we make a gezeira, that we make some sort of decree to say that the bottom one is also a problem. Does the Gemara? No, kamash malon. The truth is they are both okay. Okay, let's pause for a second. So what exactly is this Gemara saying? So we have, like many things in Judaism, not everything, like many things in Judaism, there is a dispute over here, a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi writes that, remember, in the previous Gemara, we had a case, if I have a tree on top of a sukkah, if the tree is hovering on top of a sukkah, so the tree can invalidate the sukkah. Right? That's what we had in the previous Gemara. The Gemara says the tree only invalidates the sukkah when the tree is more shade than sun. If the tree is more sun than shade, the tree does not invalidate the sukkah. Then the Gemara asks a question, but why not? Isn't there a combination of the schach kasher and the schach pasol? Shouldn't that be enough? Because the top sukkah, or the top case over there, the tree, which is higher up, is pasol schach. Shouldn't that mix together with the stuff at the bottom? And shouldn't that invalidate the sukkah anyway? So the Gemara answered, and Lev kind of referred us to this Gemara when we began tonight. The Gemara answers, no, I'm not worried about the schach kasher combining with the schach pasul, because that case is the case when you bend it all down. Right? Remember this? When you bend the schach down, the schach that's attached to the ground is bent so that
the tree
the tree is bent so that it intermingles with the kasher eschach on the sukkah. So in that case, it's going to be batel. But if not for the fact that the tree is bent down, so the top, the upper level, in that case, the tree, would invalidate the sukkah underneath it. That's what we saw in the previous Gemara. Rashi over here comments that if I have schach above 20 amot, that schach is also considered pasul schach, just like a tree is pasul for schach. Schach over 20 amot is pasul for schach. Right? That's what Rashi says. And therefore, according to Rashi, if I have schach above 20 amot that is on top of a kasher sukkah, that would invalidate the kasher sukkah. Just like a tree on top of a sukkah invalidates the kasher sukkah underneath it, so also schach over 20 amot is the same as a tree. You know, the pasuk says that a man is the same as a tree. And like everyone asks the question, how is a man the same as a tree? Right? So over here, Rashi is saying a little bit less of a chiddush. Rashi is saying that schach over 20 amot is like a tree. And therefore, the schach that is over 20 amot would invalidate the kasher sukkah beneath it. And for that reason, Rashi says, we can explain the third line on the top of our Gemara. Remember, Hechidami, the Gemara asks, what's the case that the bottom sukkah is kasher and the top sukkah is pasul? So the Gemara says the bottom sukkah is a majority shade. The top sukkah is a majority sun. So far, so good. Then the Gemara adds a line, V'kaimi tarvayhu b'toch esrim. Both of them are within 20 amot. And we ask the question, why do they both have to be within 20 amot? If the top sukkah is more sun than shade, so it's not doing anything. If it's not doing anything, even if that top sukkah is really high, it should be okay. The answer is, says Rashi, no. Rashi says they both have to be within 20 amot, because if the top one is above 20 amot, so then the top sukkah, which is more sun than shade, will invalidate the bottom sukkah. That's what Rashi writes. Right? If you want to read it inside, right? So the Rashi begins, Tachtonak Sheira. You see it, it's like 10 lines into the skinny lines. Tachtonak Sheira vel yonah psula hechidami. Right, kigon she tachtona tzilatam ruba, dischach she oyona lav schachu. The upper schach doesn't count as schach because it is more sun than shade. Velo mifsula tachtona mishum soka tacha suka. Ve oyona psula mishum dechamosa miruba mitzilasa. Ukigon, dekamitavai besol chafla aretz. They're both within 20 of the ground, Yosef. He says, beferish of the ground. Mm-hmm. If the top one is above 20 amos, af tachtona psula, mishum de mitzaref schach pasul bahade kasher, mishum de schach lamala me esrim psula.
So does the bottom sukkah have more shade than sun because of the sukkah that's on top of it, where it has enclosed walls? Or is it, notwithstanding the existence of the sukkah on top of it, it would have more shade than sun anyway?
Again, so the bottom sukkah seems like it has more shade than sun on its own, independent.
Okay.
And Rashi says if the upper sukkah would be above 20 amot, so then that upper sukkah would invalidate the sukkah beneath it. Right? That's what Rashi says. Because according to Rashi, schach above 20 amot is pasul. It's just like a tree, and the tree invalidates the schach underneath it. So the schach over 20 amot also invalidates the sukkah beneath it. Now what that means is that Rashi holds like the Rav Yah that we discussed. Remember, Rabbeinu Tam says that if the bottom sukkah is a kasher sukkah, if the bottom sukkah has more shade than sun, so nothing can change that. Ooh. That bottom sukkah is going to be perfectly kosher no matter what. You could have a tree on top of it. Who cares? That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, certainly if I have a bottom sukkah that is kosher, and then I have on top of it a sukkah which is more sun than shade, but it's above 20 amot, Rabbeinu Tam will say, I don't care. The bottom sukkah has enough shade on its own. I don't care if the one on top of it is more than 20 amot. So therefore, you see from Rashi, and everybody says this, that Rashi seems to hold like the Rav Yah, not like the Rabbeinu Tam. Mr. President Reiser, does this resonate with you?
It does. How does Rabbeinu Tam read the Gemara, though?
How does Rabbeinu Tam read the Gemara? Excellent. So we have to go back to the previous page. And the Tosfot is on Tet Amud Bet. Let's see if... Do you have Tet Amud Bet now, by the way? Can you see it?
I see page 18.
What? 18. Okay. Yes. Okay, excellent. Right, so we just switched back. Okay, so the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with everything that Rashi said, right? Rabbeinu Tam, remember, is Rashi's grandson, no?
Yes.
I imagine that Shabbos meals must have been like a ton of fun.
Was Rashi's grandson the Rashbam?
Those Rambam's
Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam are brothers. Right? Rabbeinu Tam is Yaakov ben Meir, and the Rashbam is Reb Shmuel ben Meir. Okay. Rashi's son-in-law was named Meir. Right? Okay. Right? So I imagine that like Shabbos meals must have been a ton of fun. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, if you look in the Tosfot over here in Tet Amud Bet, it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like 7 lines before the lines get wide. Rabbeinu Tam mefaresh, delamala me esrim lo chashiv schach pasul, me acha she'en hapsul ela machmat gova. And that's Rabbeinu Tam's first point. You see, Rashi says that schach above 20 amot is pasol, and the schach over 20 amot can invalidate the sukkah beneath it. That's Rashi. The Rabbeinu Tam says, hey dude, Zeta, you know what? The schach over 20 amot is not pasol. You see, schach over 20 amot is only too tall, but too tall does not mean that it's pasol. Now, what exactly Rabbeinu Tam means is not 1,000,000% clear, but it probably means something like what we saw in the Gemara earlier. The Gemara says, if I have a sukkah that's over 20 amos, and then I go and I build a mound inside the sukkah, so now the guy standing on top of the mound has the schach under 20 amos, it's kosher. Nothing changed in the schach. What I did was I raised the floor. No? I believe Mount Sinai Jewish Center now is like trying to raise the floor. No? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So nothing is changing. It's the same sanctuary. You're just raising the floor. Right? But the schach, the sukkah becomes kosher. How's it going to become kosher? If the schach was puzzle beforehand, how does raising the floor change anything? You're not doing anything to the schach.
No, but you're reducing the distance from the floor to the ceiling.
Yeah, but my action is not on the schach. My action is on the floor. So? If I have, one second, let's just try to understand Rabbeinu Tam, and then we could try to argue with him. What Rabbeinu Tam is saying is, if I have a tree that's attached to the ground, in order to make it kosher, I have to change the schach. I have to do something to the schach. I have to detach it from the ground. I'm acting on the roof. But when the sukkah is above 20 amot, I don't have to do anything to the schach. Right? Even if I work on the floor, I don't work on the schach, so it still is going to be able to become kasher. That means, says Rabbeinu Tam, that schach over 20 amot is not puzzle. Yosef, you still seem to be in disbelief. You got it.
Yep.
Okay. So that's Rabbeinu Tam's first point.
And you say that we go by the one who is the more significant rabbi?
Again, that's a much larger conversation. What I said last time was that if there's a dispute between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rav Yeh, it's more likely to follow that the halacha should follow the Rabbeinu Tam than the Rav Yeh.
So in this case that we're talking about right now, so when we follow the Rabbeinu Tam?
Again, there are no absolute rules over here, but one could certainly make such a case that that should happen, although not necessarily. But okay. Let's go on. Right now, Lev, you're like four steps ahead of me because you're already talking about how I paskin la halacha. I'm not up to that yet. I'm not
five,
up to
five, five.
Right now, I'm learning the Taisus.
Oh.
So the Rabbeinu Tam basically says that when the Gemara, Vigaris Rabbeinu Tam, let's just skip. Milan asks, how does Rabbeinu Tam read the Gemara? So let's go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines into the wide lines of the Taisus. Vigaris Rabbeinu Tam, Tachtona Ksheira, Vel Yona Pesula Hechadami. What's the case that the Bam Sukkah is Kasher, the Tap Sukkah is Pasol? The case is, Kidon De El Yona Chamosa Meruba Mitzilasa, Vitachtona Tzilasa Meruba Mechamosa. Right? The same thing that we had. The top sukkah is more sun. The bottom sukkah is more shade. The kaima tachtona besoch chaf. The bottom sukkah. The kaima tachtona besoch chaf. Rabbeinu Tam changes the text. He doesn't say that the upper sukkah has to be within 20. The bottom sukkah is within 20. Ava ha'oyona lo chayshinan b'cholin yandekayim. Ava bi lomay lo me'esrim lo mifsala tachtona b'hachi. Right, says the Rabbeinu Tam, that you have to change the girsa in the Gemara. The Gemara is only saying that the bottom sukkah has to be within 20. The top sukkah could be wherever it wants to be. According to Rabbeinu Tam, this top sukkah is going to be, the top sukkah is pasul, because there is more sun than shade. Now you have a question. Let the pasul top sukkah invalidate the kosher bottom sukkah. So for that, Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that can't happen, because schach over 20 is not pasul. Schach over 20 cannot is now called schach pasul, and therefore it cannot invalidate the sukkah underneath it. And Rabbeinu Tam says that's precisely what the Gemara says. The bottom sukkah is within 20, the top sukkah is above 20, and it does not invalidate it. Okay, so if I would just take a step back, and now we should be back on Daf Yoram and Aleph. I hope everyone sees that, like on Yoram and Aleph. Great. So if I would just take a deep breath over here, there's a dispute between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. Is schach over 20 schach pasol, or schach over 20 considered kasher schach? This issue might depend on the various reasons that the Gemara had on Daf Beis Omer Aleph for why schach over 20 is no good. If you remember, the Gemara on Beis Amarav had three different reasons. Rabba said that schach over 20 amot is no good because the Torah says, V'man yed udo roteichem kibasu koto shavti epnei Yisrael. Rabba says if the schach is over 20, you don't feel like you are in the sukkah. That's Rabba. Reb Zera says that schach over 20 is no good because in that situation you're not getting shade from the schach, you're getting shade from the walls. And Rava said schach over 20 is no good because it is a dirat keva, it's a permanent structure, and the sukkah has to be a dirat arai. Now, again, obviously what I'm saying now is not true, but right, but it would seem that according to Rashi, the schach over 20 amot is pasol, is considered schach pasol, and it can invalidate the schach beneath it, can validate the sukkah beneath it. That would make more sense if you hold like Reb Zera. If you hold like Reb Zera that schach over 20 amos doesn't really provide shade, that means it's not schach. According to Rabba, that schach over 20 amos is just something that doesn't remind you, so it's harder to say that's going to be pasul. According to Rava, that schach over 20 amos is considered diras keva. You could also say that it is considered schach pasul. Well, I'm basically trying to develop now, just briefly in like half a sentence, is that this question between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam about whether schach over 20 amot is considered pasul schach, or whether the schach itself is kasher, might depend on the various reasons that were mentioned earlier in the Gemara. So far so good, ladies and gentlemen? Okay, Peter shaking his head. That's good enough for me to move on. Okay, Chevra. Let's begin. Kama yehe ben suka l'suka utehe tachton apsula. Right, 1, 2, 3. It's 9 lines from the top of Yud Amud Aleph. You see it? Here's the thing. If I have a very thick layer of schach, right? Let's say I have schach that is 10 feet thick. That is going to be kosher schach, no? You could have schach that's very thick, but people ask, don't you have to be able to see the sun, the stars through the schach? So the answer is, yeah, l'chatchila you should. But if the schach is very thick and you can't see the stars, it still is kasher. Let's say it's very, very thick. Does that mean that like rain can't get into it? Well, theoretically, rain could get into it. So therefore, the schach could be super thick and it still is kasher schach. So here's my problem. The Gemara asks a question. Where do you draw the line between one very thick layer of schach and many different layers of schach? If I have many different layers of schach, so that's called the sukkah tachas ha-sukkah. That's not kosher. That's one sukkah under another sukkah. That's not kosher. But if I have one very thick layer of schach, so then it is kosher. So the Gemara, 9 lines from the top, asks, kama yehe bein sukkah psula. How much space does there have to be between each of the sukkot to invalidate the bottom one? So Amarav Huna Tefach. Shekein Matsinu Ba'ohaleituma Tefach. Right? Ditnan Tefach or Tefach Berum Tefach Meviat Hatuma Vichotates Bifne Hatuma. Okay, Rav Huna says that the paradigm of schach is the halachos of tumah. The halachos of tumah require a tefach. A tefach is basically, it's approximately 3 inches. It's like my fist, no? That's a tefach. Let's say you have a corpse who is underneath a corpse who's buried in the coffin. And there is a tefach of space between that corpse and the coffin. So technically speaking, the tumah does not go through the coffin. The coffin is an ohel on itself. The coffin is a contained unit, and the tumah stays in the coffin. If you have an ohel of a tefach, so it does not allow the tumah to escape, but it also transports the tumah to everything that is within that same tent. For example, let's say you have a corpse, and it doesn't have to be, by the way, a complete corpse. Now, etzem kisaora, right? If you have just a bone the size of a barley, I apologize if this is like a little bit disgusting, but let's say you have the bone of a dead body that's the size of a piece of barley, which is tiny. So if you have a tiny bit of tumah and it's underneath a wall, and the wall is at least a tefach, so even something, it's under the same roof as something else, that something else is going to be tameh. So if I have a cup at the far end of the room, I have a tiny little mace on this side, and I have a cup on that side, the ceiling, the roof, brings the tumah from one side to the other side. So a tefach prevents the tumah from going up and out, but it also is metameh anything that's inside. Of course, if you don't have a tefach, so as a matter of halacha, that's called tumah ritzutza, no? If you don't have a tefach between the corpse and the top of the coffin, so that's squashed tumah, and squashed tumah goes all the way up and all the way down. When we bury people in coffins, one second, let me just finish the sentence.
Okay.
When we bury people in coffins, technically speaking, the corpse should not create a problem for someone who's on top of the grave, because there's a tefach between the body and the coffin. So it should technically not cause a problem. The only thing is that very often a wooden coffin cracks, no? The top of the wood cracks, and then what you have is tumah ritzutza. Then you have tumah that goes all the way up, and that could be metameh all the way up to the sky. I mean, we've spoken about this many times. It's like one of my favorite topics, about like how you're allowed to fly in an airplane if you're a Kohen. How can you fly over a cemetery, right? So one of the suggestions is, well, what's the problem? You bury the person in a coffin, and then the tumah just is contained. Well, I'll tell you the problem. The problem is that the it becomes squashed tumah over time, because the coffin top caves in. So then some suggested that what they often do, especially in Israel, they bury people and they put like blocks of cement on top. No? And the blocks of cement itself creates an ohel of a tefach. So right. What's the problem over there? So the problem is the same thing, that over time, also those blocks of cement cave in, no?
Yeah, but
you bury and you put
it takes longer for the blocks of cement to cave in than wood.
Everything will cave in.
That's over. True, but one takes longer than the other.
I agree with you, Lev. The wood will cave in sooner, but it's very likely that the blocks of cement will cave in also.
Right.
So again, but let's just get back to what we're up to in Judaism. We're not learning tumah now. We're learning sukkah. And we have a halacha that a sukkah under a sukkah is a problem. So we have a question. What's considered a sukkah under a sukkah? Right? What's considered a sukkah under a sukkah? Maybe it's just one thick sukkah. So Rav Huna says, I draw an analogy to the halachas of tumah. The halachos of tumah tell me that the measurement is a tefach. So if I have a 3-inch gap between level 1 of schach and level 2 of schach, so that's going to be a problem according to Rav Huna. He proves it from tumah, detnan, that the Mishnah writes in Oholos, tefach al tefach berum tefach, one tefach squared brings tumah mevia tatuma. Means it brings tumah from one side to the other side. If you have a corpse over here and a cup over there, it brings the tumah. and doesn't allow the tuma to escape upwards. Of a pachos, maybe I'm tefach. Let's say it's not a tefach tool, so leimayvi v'lo chotzeit. Then it doesn't bring the tuma, and it's also not chotzeit b'fnei atuma. Then its tuma ritzuta goes up. So Rav Huna compares sukkah to tuma. Rav Chista v'rababar Rav Huna amri arba. Rav Chista and Rababar Rav Huna say no. The distance between two levels of schach that's necessary to consider something two levels of schach rather than one thick level is four tfachim. Four tfachim is the rough equivalent of a foot, no? If each tefach is about 3 inches, so four times three is 12 inches, which is about a foot. So Rav Chista and Rabbi Rav Huna say it's four tfachim because shelo matzinu makom chashuv pachos me'arba. Throughout Judaism, significant areas are always four tfachim. If you want to be a Rishus HaYachid, you have to be a bare minimum of four tfachim wide. If you want to be a Karmelis, as opposed to Makom Ptur, but a Karmelis is like a Rishus HaYachid, but there are no walls around it, so you also have to be four tfachim wide. Four tfachim is the definition of a significant area. Therefore, Rav Chista and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna say that you need four tefachim in order to be a significant area. So if the top schach is four tefachim over the bottom, so it is going to be two levels of schach, and that becomes a problem. Taisus over here, by the way, if you look at the Taisus Shalom Atzinu, Taisus writes that Rishus HaYochan and Karmelis is where we see four tefachim, but that's talking about four tefachim in width. Where do you see four tefachim in height? So Taisai, so Inyan Gova Nami Ashechon in Perek Chalon in the Gemara and Erevin to be considered a doorway. As a matter of halacha, four tefachim is considered the definition of significant space, both in terms of width and in terms of height. That's what emerges. So far we have two positions. Rav Huna says, right, that one tefach is the defining amount to determine that something is considered a sukkah betoch sukkah. And then Rav Chista and Rabbi Rav Huna say, no, not one tefach, but four tefachim. Shmuel Amar Asara, right? Like eight lines before the lines get wide. Shmuel says, the definition of two schachs rather than one is ten tfachim. Shmuel Omar Asara. My time at Shmuel. What's the reasoning behind Shmuel? Kach Shera Kach Psula. Just like a sukkah's kashrus involves ten, the paslos of a sukkah involves ten. Mahach Shera Ba'asara, Af Psula Ba'asara. The minimum height of a sukkah is how much? 10 tefachim. You see that? 10 fingers. That's the minimum height of a sukkah. The minimum height of a sukkah is 10 tefachim. So just like to make a sukkah kosher requires 10 tefachim, so also to make a sukkah pasul requires 10 tefachim. To be a sukkah under a sukkah, according to Shmuel, there has to be that the upper sukkah is 10 tefachim above the lower sukkah. So let's just review. According to Rav Huna, if the upper one is one tefach above, it creates a problem. According to Rav Chista and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, if the upper one is four tefachim above, it creates a problem. But according to Shmuel, the upper one only creates a problem if it is 10 tefachim above. Now, in Rav Soloveitchik language, the Rav had like a way with words sometimes. He is able to come with like a sharp formulation that really summarizes the entire Gemara very beautifully. So the Rav said like this, the question over here is the psul sukkah tachat sukkah, or is the psul schach tachat schach? Okay. According to Shmuel, the psul is sukkah tachat sukkah. The only time it's going to be psul is when you have 10 tfachim that separate the upper sukkah from the lower sukkah. Only with 10 tfachim do you have a problem. Less than 10 tfachim, it's not a problem. Because according to Shmuel, the halacha is sukkah tachat sukkah. But according to Rav Huna and Rav Chista, etc., it's not a din in sukkah tachas sukkah, but it's a din in schach tachas sukkah. Right, schach tachas schach. Right, the top one does not have to be a sukkah on its own. If the top one is just schach, it's not a sukkah. It just is a ceiling. Right, it's not halachically a sukkah. Because halachically be a sukkah, you have to be 10 tefachim tall. Still, according to Rav Huna, it's a problem. Because even if the top one is 1 tefach above, or the top one is 4 tefachim above, it's not a sukkah, but it still is a problem. Now, I saw in the shiurim of the Mir Rosh Hashiva, of Reb Elia Baruch Finkel, he doesn't use Rav Soloveitchik's strong formulation of the difference between sukkah tachat sukkah and schach tachat schach, but he ends up saying the same thing. And he refers to a question that the Prima Gadim has. Let me just draw the Prima Gadim's question as follows. Okay? So the Prima Gadim discusses as follows. Let's say here, can you see my whiteboard?
Yep.
Yes.
A bottom sukkah, right? And on the top, I have schach. But I don't have walls on the top. Let's say there are 10 tfachim between A and B. But I don't have walls. How is it hanging there? Yeah. You know, magic. It's hanging. Basically. You know, like, I don't know, ask Harry Potter how it's hanging. But it's hanging. So, according to the question is whether this is going to be kasher. According to Rav Soloveitchik's Lomdus, Shmuel would not invalidate in this case. Because, yes, I have 10 tfachim between A and B, but it's not a sukkah tachat sukkah. Because to be a sukkah, you also need walls. If you just have schach, that is not a sukkah. So the Mir Rosh Hashiva raised this question. He points out the Prima Gadim has a suffix about it, etc. What I'm noting is that according to Rav Soloveitchik's analysis, that according to Shmuel, the psul is sukkah, tachat sukkah, and 10 tfachim is a way of saying that this is a sukkah, so then you'd also need walls. And if you don't have walls, like in this beautiful picture that I drew, that there are no walls, so then it's going to be kasher. This is something that, God willing, we'll have to pick up on next week, because I think any comments, questions, observations, jokes? Elon, you have some?
I mean, not to make it more crazy over here, I'm surprised nobody has a tlitzafach requirement in invoking Lovud in the whole thing.
No one has a what?
No one is invoking Lovud and saying tlitzvachim.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, how come they don't invoke Lovud of tlitzvachim? Yeah, that's a really interesting question. That's a really interesting question. I'd have to look around. I'd have to look around to see the answer to that question. I don't know. But once you ask the question, let me ask a question also. Ready? How come the Gemara only raises this question about sukkah tachat sukkah? The Gemara asks, you have the top sukkah, the bottom sukkah, how far apart do they have to be a problem? We had cases about sukkah tachat ilan, no? The Gemara, if you remember, said that if you bend the tree down, so then the ilan mixes with the sukkah. Why don't we ask a question also? How far, maybe you could bend it down with some gap between them and still consider connected. How come we don't ask this question about sukkah, tachat, ilan also? That's also a question that I think we could focus on. Again, God willing, next week, I hope that we will pick up on some of these issues. But for the time being, let's just leave it where we are. Any other questions, comments, observations? Ilan, I have to look into your question about the Lavud. I didn't see anyone ask it. It's a really good question.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. You see, we're learning the sugya. Ilan, so Ilan asks a question in order to... Okay, Chavra.
Have a good week.
Have a good week. We'll see you next week, God willing. Okay, Kotov.